It was mentioned a little while ago that there's a lot of misery in the world, and how true that is. Sin always brings misery, always brings pain, right from the very beginning in the garden. Remember how our foreparents were deceived by the devil, but there he's called what? A serpent. I have to be very careful here. I'm not much in... Okay, now, Marissa, don't get too frightened. You know what this is, don't you? I don't get worried. See, I'm not afraid of it. All right? It's a rubber snake. I don't know if Jordan missed him yet, but I got him off of his shelf. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the serpent, because it likens the devil to a serpent. If we want to get our first scripture reading, please, in 2 Corinthians, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, quickly, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then we have, of course, in verse 2, it says, But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There are a lot of people who handle the Bible deceitfully, but the devil is behind it all. So, number one, Satan is a person of deception. That is the first thing we note about him way back in the garden, as I mentioned a little while ago. And he deceived our foreparents, and he's deceiving the world. And that's why we have such an awful situation in society, in the home life, in every institution of the world, practically. You'll find the devil is there to deceive. Politically, the arena of politics, you find deception. You find deception in the individual. But the devil is a mastermind behind deception. The poor unconverted man or woman doesn't realize it, but the devil's business, prime business, is to deceive them, because he acts sometimes as an angel of light. Other times, he will blind you so that you will not be able to see the glorious light of the gospel and be saved. Oh, what a deceiver. Then he deceives a lot of people in the world. Morally, we think not just of the young people, but older people are deceived by it as well. Sometimes I think we overemphasize that it's just a problem with youth. He deceives in many, many areas. Morally speaking, he might deceive a young person, yes, by narcotics. And, you know, they are always will find it attractive at the beginning, or any sphere of sin, not just that. Could be any area of sin. And it could be, and no doubt about it, the devil can deceive by making it very attractive. But sin, when it is full, it says it biteth, or it bringeth forth what? Death. So the devil is looked upon as a deceiver. And then we're told that Satan goes about, remember 2 Peter 5:8, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. So he's not only a person of deception, he is a person that destroys. Oh, God knows, and we know how this is so true. What a deceiver he is, and what a destroyer he is. He never builds anything. The devil is never out to make anything beautiful or pretty. He's never there to give joy. He's always in the world to bring nothing but sadness and misery, as we heard a little while ago, and pain. The devil's business is to destroy. And you know, his one of his prime targets, of course, is a human being. And he wants to destroy you. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, he wants to destroy you so that you will be with him throughout the countless ages of eternity in the awful abyss of hell itself. What a pitiful, pitiful situation. We just had the privilege of burying two dear saints of God. It's nice to know that they were ready. I think Mr. Ansel today, and January the 30th, he would have been 102 You know, it's amazing. You know what I enjoy about that? The Lord not only saves, but He keeps. That's right. And if he was 120, Mr. Angel, I believe would be still going on for the Lord. What a wonderful picture of endurance or going on for the Lord that dear man was. And we enjoyed his fellowship. But suppose now that they were not saved. The devil is a destroyer. And let me tell you something, fellas, young ladies, he will destroy you. Be sure that you're in the faith. Be sure that you know Christ is your Redeemer. Be sure that you're not just taking these things for granted. It's not a lip, a profession. It's very easy to slip into an area of your life or one's life to just, I'm going to use a little word here, superficial, on the surface, on the top, just the veneer. We might be able to fool our friends. We might be able to fool our family. But you'll never be able to fool God. You'll only fool yourself. Be sure that you are a child of God. Know it that you are. And you say, well, Brother Frank, I've made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. Wonderful. But you say, well, how can I really be sure? All right. You take the word of God. You get your assurance from the scripture. Because John says, these things write I unto you that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. You can know it. You can know it on the authority of God's word. When you came to Him, you put your faith and your trust in Him, and you received Him as your Savior, and though you base it on the word of God, God cannot lie. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But listen, listen. Our walk should bear out our profession. And that doesn't mean you're going to walk perfectly. If that was so, then none of us would ever make it into heaven. I know one day we're looking forward to the day when we will be perfect, when Christ will make us in His likeness at the rapture, but we're not perfect yet. But listen, there should be some desire for spiritual things. There should be some desire for the Word of God. There should be some desire to really walk with the Lord and go on for Him, even though you may not be perfect. If there's no desire at all, no light in your heart, no real joy in your soul, something is definitely missing. Oh, don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil destroy you. But he is also called the person of death. In fact, he has the power of death. It doesn't mean that the devil is in charge of death. We have that in Hebrews, latter part of Hebrews chapter 2. You know, Christ came and destroyed him who had the power of death. Or over death. It means that he had a measure of control in this sense, that when he deceives you, he will devour you and bring you even down to death. Sin will bring death, for the wages of sin is what? Death. And who's the originator of sin? Who's the one who deceives by sin? It's the devil. So he's the one that has the power of death. And this is where our little snake comes into play tonight. I'm not going to give him a name. I wouldn't even know where to begin. But you know, Farmer Brown had a chicken coop, and the chickens were laying a lot of eggs. Of course, each one in a little nest, they were separate. But this snake was very hungry. He knew that chickens were there, and one of their main foods is they like a nice, juicy egg. All right? They like eggs. In fact, it's amazing. He's a little small, but he could probably swallow a bird's egg, but I think a chicken egg would be a little too big. But they're not much bigger than this. It's amazing how they can actually swallow an egg. They can. Anyhow, he found a little hole through the chicken coop, Mr. Brown's chicken coop, got in this night, and as he got through the chicken coop, and the chicken, of course, she hollered, the hen fluttered her wings and jumped off the nest, as I would. I don't like snakes, do you? I'm handling this one because I know he's dead. He's made out of rubber. I don't mind him, but I'm not a snake handler, believe me. But you know something? Hen jumped off her nest, and there was that nice, rosy, white egg there. And one gulp, the egg went down, but now looked like a problem. As he went back to go through the same hole, here was the egg on the other side, but it didn't bother her. She was smart. All she did is give a little wiggle and a little squirming, you know, bitten, and then whack, and the egg throat, you see. And she was able to get through the same hole without any problem. Boy, that juicy, fresh, yellow yolk, that yolk, and that white part of the egg. Just, that was a delicious meal. All right? And so she said, I'm going to try that again tomorrow night. That's what the devil always tells you. Try it again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. So, went right back through the same hole in Farmer Brown's hen house. And there's that lovely egg again. Chicken jumped, frightened to death. One gulp, had the egg down, and went through that little hole again. Same procedure. And the egg just crushed or smashed to pieces. Another juicy meal for the night. Farmer Brown was suspicious. He said, now something's wrong here. So he said, maybe she's not laying the way she used to. I know what I'll do. I will change that hen to another coop and bring the one that he knows is laying and put there as well in the place where the snake has been eating or taking the egg. Third night, same thing. And would you believe that snake got in, got that egg, and sure enough, got away with that third egg. Now, Farmer Brown says, I think I know what's happened. So you know what he did? He didn't boil this one, his egg, that egg hard like this one, but he got a China egg. We used to have them as false eggs. How many have seen them? When we used to have chickens, we used to have made out of China, very hard, just like an egg, shape of an egg. Nobody's ever seen them? Oh, I see a few people who have. Good, okay, you verify my story then. So he said, I know what I'll do. So he put that China egg in the nest, and he said, if it's really who I think it is or what I think it is, I'm going to catch her. And so that night, fourth night again, that snake tried to right through the hole, all right. But this time, Father Brown was watching. Now the snake didn't know. Got in there, and there that she saw that juicy egg, what she thought was juicy, and gulped it down. And so she figured, had it made. Fourth egg, fourth night, that is, four egg, boy. How good could it, how better could it ever get? And so as he made through that little hole in the fence or in that wood and got there and she squirmed and she wriggled. And she wriggled and she did all in her power to try to get through. But this time, that big China egg was in her and wouldn't break. You see? Farmer Brown saw it, took his cutlass. What do you think he did? Chopped her right in two. The moral, of course, of the lesson, the application of the lesson is this. Remember, the devil is a deceiver, the devil is a destroyer, and the devil will bring death. So it's very important that we understand the principle laid down in the Word of God. There are many other deeds of the devil that we could bring to your attention, but that are the only three that I care to share with you tonight. And listen, my friend, don't be deceived by the devil. Don't let him devour you. Don't let him bring you down in death because of folly and foolishness. Christmas is coming up, and I love Christmas, and I love the singing and everything that goes with Christmas. It does something to you. If you're a child of God and you love the Lord, and it could be a very happy Christian, but it's not a time of foolishness, and it's not a time of vandalism, destroying people's property. Christmas is not a time of being just a public nuisance and getting drunk. Christmas isn't that at all. That's a deception of the devil. We don't want it to get so bad like in one part of England. They had years ago, you may not be aware of this, they actually had to outlaw Christmas because of stealing that was going on, mugging, and a lot of other things associated with that particular time of the year. It was very sad. But we can enjoy it. We can enjoy it to the full because Christ's coming means something to us. And we've got the right apprehension of what Christmas really means or understanding. We want to enjoy the fact of his coming as a child there in Bethlehem's manger or in Bethlehem. And there he was laid out in that manger. We want to enjoy the fact that he walked and talked as a boy, grew up as a teenager. And as an adult, we want to also be aware of the fact that he died on the cross for each one of us. Oh, my friend, the snake will lead to death, The serpent rather will lead to death. He thought he could get away with it. One night, two nights, three nights, fourth night, and you know what happened. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow prayer. You're here tonight and you're not a believer, you're not a Christian. Remember, He loves you and He died for you. We'd be very happy to talk with you after the service. Or if you're here and you're not sure, you really want to be sure, we'd be glad to open the Bible with you and share with you the Word of God. Father, as we bow in your presence, oh, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for His coming into this world. Thank you for the gift of all gifts and that you have revealed Him unto us. Perhaps there's someone here, Lord, still in darkness, still out of Christ, wandering about without any hope, without any security, no peace whatsoever, void of your salvation. God grant that tonight they will bow the knee to Christ and be saved. And be with your dear children, Lord, many of them who need encouragement. We pray for them as well. Supply their need. Watch over them. Give the guidance and the help and the instruction. Keep from evil day by day. As we follow your word and seek to obey your word, be everything to us, Father, is our prayer. Remember again those that are not well and hurting in so many ways. We commend them to your care and your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, giving you our heartfelt thanks. Amen.